Prayer is the art of hole punching the sky so that, as it is in heaven, becomes an earthly reality.
I'll be sitting again tonight, but we're in a prayer series, and I've been praying that God would bring healing to my foot, and I got good news. Friday, I went in for my second round of x-rays, and they told me I will likely not have to have surgery. That's very encouraging. 4 more weeks in the boot, I should be good to go. I don't know if my wife will let me play basketball again, but we'll see. Well, this is a teaching series on prayer, and it's an important one. I'm praying it'll be a game changer for you personally in your own life, for us collectively as a church, that God will bring us together in profound ways. In fact, now we're halfway through it, and if there's an opportunity to be able to speak into the journey here with you, and you have stories that you'd like to give an update on, let me know, or let one of our team know that they can pass on to me. Over the last half of this series forthcoming, my hope is that we'll be able to share some of the stories of God's work in your own life, in your own journey. I can see I'm dead in the front screen here, but I'm glad you guys have this here. You can see where we've been. So pray like, with, after, in. Tonight we're talking about praying along with the Holy Spirit, and then the weeks to follow through, again, past, against, and for. And so you see, it's a pretty comprehensive series. And I'm calling it a teaching series in the sense that it's almost like a classroom environment. My hope is that you bring a pen, bring your Bibles. And if you're taking a class, you're jotting down notes with the idea that there's something for you to take away. And I'm praying that God will give that to you. In fact, we'll conclude tonight with an opportunity of just a little silence for you to say, Lord, what did you give me tonight that I might take away with me? As we move into the message, however, we're going to do something at the launch of my message tonight that I know you're very excited about. We're going to memorize a verse together. We're going to memorize the whole verse. And I can see your enthusiasm already. In fact, I have people tell me all the time, I don't memorize scripture very well. It's hard for me to memorize. It's really difficult. Don't tell me those things. That only inspires me more to come at you with it. Because it makes a difference to know the word of God in your life. It will help you profoundly. And so I want to share with you a verse, and we're going to memorize the whole verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You ready to go? Here's the text. I'll put it up on the screen for you. Pray continually. You can do this. Do not be discouraged. Do not be overwhelmed. You can do this. I like when I memorize scripture, say reference and text together. Join me. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Okay, Andrew, take it off the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. You can do it. Pray continually. Do you? How do you? You can't. Not in your own strength. You can't pray without ceasing. You can't pray continually without the help of the Holy Spirit, who prays continually with and for you. This past week, or 2 weeks ago, I had breakfast with a good friend of mine. We were just talking about a lot of life things and talking about life and death issues, in fact, because both of us have lost good friends in the last several months. When he shared with me a quote from C.S. Lewis that jarred me, the quote I put in your teaching notes, "You do not have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body." Isn't that good? I could not get that thing out of my head. Over the whole course of that week, that thing just juggled into my head. I eventually Googled it to find out what book from C.S. Lewis that quote came from, when I learned the fact that it's attributed to C.S. Lewis, but he was not the first to speak it. The first to speak it was a Scottish minister by the name of George MacDonald, and this is what he said. "Never tell a child you have a soul. Teach him you are a soul. You have a body." And when we see it that way, when we see the body as a temporary clothing to the soul, our views of death have new perspective and new hope. And even though I was clearly jarred when he shared it, it wasn't simply because of the implication of death. It was more because of the implication of those words for today. Because when I look around, what I see is people giving extensive energy and spending a great amount of dollars to take care of the body. We just want to look good. We want to be fit. We want to live long days on the earth, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think that's biblical as well. We're told that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Caring for the body is a good thing. But when I read and understand this quote, and I think it's theologically accurate, if you are a soul that has a body, we ought to give our best energy to soul care, not to body care. And that's harder for us to do because the soul you cannot see, the body you see. So it's so tangible for us. There's a mystery to the soul. How do we take care of the soul? Well, God is so good to us in this end. And in fact, there are many people when it comes to taking care of the body, at least over the last decade, it's been astonishing to me how many people hire a personal trainer, a PT or a physical trainer, a personal trainer to coach them, to help them so that they can look the best and feel the best that they possibly can. You spend a lot of money for 1 hour a week, maybe 2 hours a week to have a personal trainer come alongside of you. But did you know, did you realize that God has hired for you an ST, a spiritual trainer? And that spiritual trainer is with you not for an hour or two a week, but 24/7? And did you know that Jesus Christ paid the full price of that personal trainer or that spiritual trainer for you? You don't have to put a dime toward this. He paid the price, and the price came at the shedding of his own blood for your sin. This is a powerful experiential reality that happens when you walk with Jesus Christ. You have been given an ST, a spiritual trainer for your soul, and he is the Holy Spirit. You can see the message there stated. The Holy Spirit is your prayer partner, your spiritual trainer, who prays with you. And did I mention to you that God paid the full price for that spiritual trainer? Did you tune into that? Do not neglect the sacrificial gift that God gave 24/7 to help you with soul care. He's accessible any time of any day. So I want to ask the question this evening, how does the Holy Spirit come alongside of you when you pray? In fact, I want you to take notice that there's a chair up here with me today, and it's not because I'm going to interview anyone. I'm not. It's there symbolically to remind me throughout this message, and I trust you, that we're not alone. That the Holy Spirit is present with us in our gathering. And the Holy Spirit is within us personally. And as I'm teaching, the Holy Spirit, as I believe, helping me to teach in a way that you understand in greater measure who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you through the Holy Spirit who indwells you. And even though there's a lot of mystery to the Spirit, there's a lot of truth revealed to us in the Scriptures for which we can get our arm around the presence of the Spirit in us. So how does the Holy Spirit come alongside of you when you pray? Let's start out with a foundational truth that you don't want to miss at all, and that is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. He's actually called that in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. Supplication isn't a word that we use in our common day vernacular all that often, but it's just another word for prayer. That we have here in the Holy Spirit, one who is an interceder and advocate for you 24/7. One who is going to God on your behalf, asking and imploring and beseeching God to pay attention to where you're at. To help you draw closer to who he is. Galatians 4:6. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Here's a theological frame of reference for this truth that we pray alongside of the Holy Spirit. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, there's a spiritual transaction that happens. So when you put authentically, genuinely, your faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus sends the Spirit of Christ to indwell within you. Look again at what it says. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. We don't have to go to the temple place where they had the Holy of Holies that represented the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is given to us as a gift through the presence of the Holy Spirit, who somehow mysteriously indwells us in our soul to the end that we can attend to the presence of the Lord and all that he has for us. And that the Holy Spirit, our prayer partner, is actively calling out for us on our behalf, Abba, Father. The very same words that Jesus spoke, notably when he surrendered and sacrificed his life for your sin and my sin. He called out in Aramaic, Abba. And a few weeks ago, I unpacked in this prayer series what Abba means. And I won't unpack it again, but just as a reference point, it means Daddy. And what you don't want to miss is the intimate connection that we have with God through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. When I was in junior high, I attended confirmation at a Lutheran church, and I loved that church and still have friends actively engaged in that church. Beautiful big church, stained glass windows, dimly lit room with the cross and Jesus up in the front. And you just sensed a reverence and a transcendence of God. And some of you grew up in backgrounds where architecture created a sense of reverence and awe for God and a sense of transcendence. And the danger with transcendence is you can miss immanence, that he is accessible. He is Daddy. He is both transcendent and he is imminent. And that accessibility comes and the Holy Spirit calls out, cries out on our behalf, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit is given for the express purpose of training us from the very beginning of our spiritual journey until the day we enter into his presence face to face to make prayer as natural for us as that of a child crying out to his earthly father, Daddy, Daddy. So when we say, you know, I struggle with prayer. Prayer is really hard for me. It's really difficult. It's not because of who the Holy Spirit is, our prayer partner. It's because we get caught in our own flesh and weakness. Because he's with you, your spiritual trainer. Did I tell you, by the way, that the price was paid in full for that ST for you? Did you get that? That personal or spiritual trainer is with you, your prayer partner, 24/7. And he's calling out, Abba, Father. To the end that you can begin to pray as naturally as a child would speak to his father saying, Daddy, Daddy, where are you? I need you. I want you. Be with me. You get the picture that we're given here? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer. That's what he's called. That's our foundation place. And how does the Holy Spirit come alongside and help us and pray along with us? Secondly, the Holy Spirit guides you to truth. John 16:13, but when he, the spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Don't you love the word of God? It doesn't say half of the truth, partial truth, exaggerated truth, wishful thinking. He will guide you into all the truth. And so no matter what reality, confusion, conflict that you have with people where truth seems to be ambiguous and distant, he will lead you into all the truth. Your prayer partner. As you turn to him and come alongside of him in John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth, Jesus says. Sanctify them. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, grows us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's one of his jobs is our spiritual training. He's training us to be more like Christ in his character and leading us into the truth because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word, he says, is truth. Now that's a help to me, and I pray it is to you. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into truth, and that the word, the scriptures, is the truth. And that's helpful to us today because we live in a time where we want the truth to be what I want the truth to be. And here we're reminded that there is a standard of truth that is real truth, right, noble, good, pure, true. There is a standard above any other standard, and that standard is God himself. And he reveals himself through the word of God to us. This is the gift that he gives to us. And who wrote the Bible? The Bible is written by God the Holy Spirit. Peter tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. It's breathed by the Holy Spirit. People didn't just make up the Bible, as is being insinuated today in many of our journals. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Those who authored the pages of Scripture were Spirit-filled. They were Spirit-led to write the truth that we can know with confidence is the truth that will help us through life. The Holy Spirit guides you into that truth. And so if you want to know the truth, it starts by prayer. And coming alongside your prayer partner and opening the word of God Because therein you will see the truth of who Jesus is. So get out of your head, as I spoke about last week in more depth, the idea that your Bible is irrelevant, that it's sitting somewhere on a shelf, dusty, pull it off. I am not surprised in the least with Blake's faith story. When he opens up the Word of God with a challenge for the first time in his life to begin reading a simple 15 minutes a day, and he encounters the truth of Jesus Christ. And he takes the hand off the steering wheel of his life. And now he has a compass different from any other compass. Now, the fact that it took 17 years, Blake, that's a bit of a journey. It shows how hard it is sometimes. We want to be the truth. We want to do our own thing. But to relinquish and realize there's a truth higher than ours that's accessible through the prayer partner who's crying out, Abba, Daddy, and revealing to us the truth. What a gift this is. So this helps me, and I pray it helps you. Open up the Word and pray with your prayer partner, saying, in Jesus' name, Spirit, guide me into the truth, because I hear from this person one thing. I hear from this person another thing. I'm so conflicted. I'm so confused. I don't know what the truth is. But Holy Spirit, you know the truth. Reveal the truth to me. And now I'm working in partnership, the divine with the human, in a way that the truth gets revealed to us. Do you think he'll answer that kind of prayer? I do. So pray along with the Holy Spirit, who leads you, guides you into truth. And third, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. I think all of us know, in all humility, that probably sin is the number one thing that keeps us from praying effectively. It demotivates us from wanting to come to God, because shame and guilt cause us to want to hide rather than to be in the light. And we all struggle with this. But here's what the Lord has given to us, John 16:8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. You ever have one of those days where you're just not feeling like you want to be right with God? That is, you say to yourself, I know that I shouldn't do what I'm about to do, or I know that I shouldn't say what I'm about to say, but you know, I'm hungry and I'm going to do it or say it. And I'm angry and I'm going to do it or say it. And I'm lonely, so I just am going to do it and say it. And I'm tired, you know? I'm just tired. I don't care. Even though I knew the truth, I don't really want that truth in my life right now. I'm just going to do it. Now, did you just pick up the four words that I said? They serve as the acronym that I've given you many times, HALT, H-A-L-T. And I really believe this to be true, that most of the time you are most susceptible to temptation and to sin when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Pay attention to your body, since we're also consumed with our body, because it influences our soul care and the decisions that we make related to our soul. And in those moments, your prayer partner, the Holy Spirit, your spiritual trainer, convicts you. And what do you do? Well, if you are wise, you will halt. And you will turn to the prompting of your prayer partner, the Holy Spirit, who's calling you toward God. And while you're kind of drawn over here in this direction, and he's calling you back, and he's going to give you strength in your weakness, so you can pray this way. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, give me strength to want what you want. Do you think he'll answer that prayer? I do. And he has for me hundreds of times in my Christian journey. I've shared this story before, but it is for me the pinnacle example of or the benchmark in my own journey of how God changes and transforms us. And oftentimes those benchmarks get established in your early days as a Christian. So I'm just a few years old in my faith in Jesus Christ. And I've really been smitten with this girl called Carrie. And I really am liking her a lot. And we're dating. And I'm hoping someday I'm going to marry her. And many of you know I grew up in a home without a faith orientation in my early childhood. And so I was pretty much on my own at age 12. But in our home, we had a bit of an issue. We just swore all the time. We just swore. It was just common. It was the norm in our home. We just swore. We swore. I thought everybody did that in their homes. That's just the way it was in our homes. You didn't think anything was unusual about it. It's just how we were. It just came out in our home and in the spheres of influence, even with my extended family. It was that way, very expressive, almost Italian-like family. And words would just come flying out of their mouth, and they just came flying out of my mouth. Didn't think too much of it. It's just how we spoke with each other. So I'm dating Carrie. We get invited to a dinner of friends of her family, her parents' family. Now, Carrie comes from a long, rich tradition, beautiful tradition of Christian faith. And if you could choose one or the other, choose the beautiful tradition of Christian faith. And we were invited to this lunch, and there was a pastor there. And I had never had lunch with a pastor. It was a very intimidating thing to have lunch with a pastor. I think about that as a pastor. You don't need to be intimidated. You really don't. But I felt that way in my early 20s. And these are all beautiful people who speak beautifully, who look beautiful. I mean, they're just beautiful people. And we're having this conversation, and all of a sudden it's my turn. I'm speaking, and wouldn't you know, what do? I swear. And it gets dead silent. All these beautiful people stop smiling. And you know, it's one of those dead silences where you go, this is a very awkward moment. Who's going to recover from this? And Carrie, who's sitting beside me but is 1,000 miles away, you can feel her slithering under the table. Who's this guy? Who brought this guy? Don't know this guy. It wasn't a proud moment for her. And somebody rebounded and picked up the conversation again, grateful for that. We got through. We got into the car. She's going to drop me off at my apartment. And she said, what were you thinking? And I said, apparently I wasn't thinking. And I got a little self-defensive and protective, because we tend to do that when people call us out, or even when our prayer partner, the Holy Spirit, starts to convict us around something. And so I just said, you know, it was a mistake. What's the big deal? Ease up a little bit, you know. Come spend a day with my family. That kind of idea. But it wasn't a mistake. It was a sin. I didn't just swear. I took the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain. That's an offense to a lot of beautiful Christian people having lunch together. So Carrie dropped me off, and what I had envisioned to be a lovely romantic afternoon ended after that meal. And I was in my apartment alone the rest of the day. I wasn't alone. The Holy Spirit, my prayer partner, my spiritual trainer. By the way, did I tell you that the price for that spiritual trainer was paid in full? He's with you all the time. Even when you don't want him to be there, he's there. Tugging at you, letting you know, hey, do you realize what you did, what you said? Yeah, I did. And I asked for forgiveness, you know. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I go to bed that night. Who do I wake up with but my prayer partner? My spiritual trainer, who's tugging on me. He's not letting this thing go. I confessed my sin. What's the deal? Leave me be here. Get through the day, go to bed, wake up the next morning. Who do I wake up with? My prayer partner. My spiritual trainer will not let me go. So I start to tune in and to listen and to pay attention. I already asked for forgiveness. What else do I need to do? You need to go to the people. I hardly knew these people, most of them, but I found them. I went to their workplaces and I went to their homes. Each of them, about 8 or 10, I don't remember, at least 8 of them. There were a lot of them. Because I wanted a good night's sleep, you know. Wanted to wake up the next morning with freedom. And they opened the door and went to their offices. I just said, you know, I am so sorry for what came out of my mouth. Clearly, I offended people. And I just want to tell you, I'm very sorry for what I said. I'm a new Christian. I'm learning what it means to walk with Christ. Would you please forgive me? And each of them looked me into the eyes and said, Joel, we forgive you. You're free. We forgive you. I have not had a problem with my tongue since that day. Those habits that were part of my life ended because I have a prayer partner who said, that's not edifying. That does not honor the Lord. It does not help those who are around you. And he just stayed at me. I tuned in. I attended to his presence and I was obedient. And he brings wholeness and healing from that. And so we pray this way. Pray along with the Holy Spirit who convicts you of your sin, in order that you would grow in the likeness of God himself through Jesus Christ who's been revealed. There's another one I don't want you to miss. The Holy Spirit intercedes with you and for you. Do you ever not know what to say to God or to other people when they come to you and you just get stuck and you go, I don't have anything for you here? God, I don't have anything for you. Or if I'm meeting with people sometimes, nothing's coming to me. I had this happen about a month ago. I had an individual set up an appointment because as a pastor, occasionally I do pastoral counseling. Most of our team here does most of the pastoral counseling, but occasionally I still get to do that, and it's a privileged place to be. And I was with a particular situation, individual, where their deal was really tough. I mean, my heart was breaking for them as they continued to tell the story. And I try to listen for a solid 30 minutes as they just unpack the story before me. And I'm going, oh my goodness, one weighty thing after another weighty thing. And I'm feeling the weight of it. They've come to me for pastoral counseling, you know, and they're expecting me to give a word of wisdom. But while they're speaking, I'm thinking to myself, you need a counselor. And I'd be going, oh no, I'm the counselor that they're seeking to get. But I got nothing. I got nothing. I'm hearing this and going, I got nothing for you. This is, but my heart's bleeding for you, but I have nothing for you. And I find myself turning to my prayer partner as I'm listening to the story. Oh, give me something. And I realize I have nothing to offer. They just need the Spirit's comfort. I need to turn them to the Spirit. So my words were all just about turning to the Spirit, who is the great counselor. This is beyond anything I had to offer for them. This is how it works for us. He helps us know what to say. He helps you know what to say to God and to others. Luke 12:12. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. And then Romans 8:26. Don't miss this incredible text. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but he, the Spirit himself, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I want you to just put on your seatbelt here for a moment and tune into this, because I think we have a bad habit as Christ followers, for all of us Christ followers in the room, is we tend to think alone. We tend to process our stuff alone. We tend to pray alone, where we see ourselves just going to the throne of God. But we are not alone. We have a prayer partner, a spiritual trainer who is with us 24/7. How do certain prayers get answered in your life before you even ask for them to be answered? Doesn't that just take your breath away sometimes? It's because you have a prayer partner who 24/7 is praying for you, is anticipating that, even going before you with the Heavenly Father interceding on your behalf. The Spirit knows what Jesus wants. And when we are at a loss, he helps us in our praying to seek what Jesus wants. And sometimes we are so grieved because, say, there's a death. We've lost somebody we've loved. And we're so undone by grief, we just can't put any words. There are no words for us to utter. And the Holy Spirit, in his groanings, is translating our groanings so that they're discernible by Jesus himself. And so he not only prays with us, he prays for us, so that our lives can be recalibrated into his presence and all that he wants us to be, so that we can do all that he wants us to do. I took a step back from this text this week and I thought, what does this look like? Because there's such a mystery to the Spirit being within us, isn't there? There's such a mystery to it all. And I'm going to give a measurable shot at it, and it's going to fall really short. But I think it at least gives us a glimpse or a picture. This is how I think it works as I understand the text. First of all, I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. I don't know what I need. That is, I don't know what I really need. And oftentimes I come with what I think I need. And that's the best I can do in that given moment. But secondly, the Holy Spirit does know what I need. So as I come with what I need, and he's interceding on my behalf, knowing what I need, and then the third step is I go to the Holy Spirit to find out what I need from my prayer partner. And next, he tells me what my needs are, so that I can then go to the Father, and the Holy Spirit goes with me. And in fact, most often he's going before you. He's paving the path. Because our words are inadequate. So he translates them in a way that the will of Jesus hijacks my will so that I can align with his will. It's a redemptive hijacking. It's a good hijacking. And so we come and we pray this way. We come to the Holy Spirit and say in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, please help me to know what to say. Do you think he'll answer that prayer? He will. When we come and we ask and we realize he's with me in this deal. I'm not alone. I've got to go to him, be with him. Let that interceding he brings on my behalf align my will with the will of God himself. He does all the time. And there's one last reflection, and I didn't have it originally in my teaching and preparation, but I just felt compelled. My prayer partner just propelled me to go back and say, include it. So I have in each of the services, and I'm glad that I have. So I want to say this final reflection, that the Holy Spirit gives you the heart of worship. Philippians 3:3, worship by the Spirit of God. I think all of us know, these who are Christ followers, that worship is the heart of a person. It's within our heart. Worship is a matter of the heart. And the Spirit is the one who ushers us into the very presence of God so that authentic worship can take place. Therefore, you can worship anywhere you are, any day, any time of any day, right now, and when you leave and you get in your car, because worship is a matter of the heart. But let us not neglect what Paul says as well, or I think it's Paul who's given this one. Let us not grow tired of meeting together, or let us not grow weary of meeting together in our worship. It's a really powerful thing. Don't grow tired of coming together where two or three other believers are and to extend worship, because there's a dimension that is revealed to us about our faith journey that otherwise does not exist. And I wanted to add this final reflection because it's a place of real progress in my own prayer life, coming alongside of the Holy Spirit around this important matter of worship. This is coming from a guy who didn't see it as a value in the first 5 years of my Christian journey to worship God with others. I had received Christ into my life. I was growing and reading the scriptures. I didn't think going to church and worshiping with other people was needed. It seemed like just another thing to do. That was 5 years. Now here I ended up becoming a pastor. You can tell that was not on my radar. I wasn't even attending a church. Well, I was. I would choose selectively, occasionally to go to church, usually at Christmas or Easter. I was a creaster. And you know people like this. You may be a creaster and somehow you just showed up today. I pray you'll be blessed by doing so. But do you ever say, you know, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like worshiping with other people today. I don't feel like listening to Joel for 30 minutes. I don't feel like listening to Ben and participating in the songs that he so carefully prepared. I don't feel like praying the prayers that are going to be offered in the service. I don't want to go. What you don't want to do is to shame yourself into going. Because if you do that, worship will become duty. And let me tell you that the last thing that God wants is for you to approach worship with other people as an I have to experience. He wants it to be an I want to experience. And it is the Spirit, your prayer partner, your spiritual trainer. Did I mention to you that the price for that spiritual trainer was paid in full? Wow. Be in awe. 24/7, you've been given this gift. And there he is. If you want, teaching you how to worship the way he worships the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can go and ask in prayer, saying, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you never get tired of adoring Jesus or tired of glorifying the Father or tired of being a worshiper. Give me your desire. Bring me to worship. Do you think he'll answer that prayer? He will. And he does. In fact, for me, it's a little different because I do have to come. It's my job, right? I have to come. But it really isn't. I love to come. And people go, how can you do 5 services? I couldn't wait to come this afternoon to be with you. I really couldn't. And I'm in the middle of watching the game with my son, the Vikings game. And I go, you know what? I'm going to go. He says, too bad you can't stay. No, I got something better to do. I really feel that. I love being with you and worshiping with you. But I've learned that over time. How about my weeks off when I'm not here on a Sunday? Where's Joel? I try to make it a priority, if I'm able to find a local place of fellowship. And I got this reinforced a couple of years ago. When I made a commitment during my study leave, which it lands about 7 weeks in the summertime for me, that I wanted to attend all of the Eastern Carver County churches. And there are approximately 27 of them. So I worshiped in multiple venues on those given weekends. I wanted to go to encourage the pastors of these churches. But most importantly, I wanted to worship in other places. But it's an interesting thing as a pastor when you go to another church, which I don't think is too different than a parishioner either, you compare. But comparison kills the heart of worship. When you come in and start to say, well, you could have done it this way, or we've done it this way. Well, I've been raised always doing it this way. Why don't they do the Lord's Prayer every week? And all of a sudden, you find yourself getting lost in all of the ambient noise, and your heart is no longer worshiping. And because I know that that's the inclination of the heart of a pastor, but as well as a parishioner as well, that it's wise. I went to all of these churches, I parked my car, and before I went in, I said, oh Lord, let me come to worship you. Give me something that would reveal your presence to me in greater measure. And in those experiences, I walked away with something after every experience. Because nothing delights the Lord more than a heart of worship. That's what he wants for us. So before going in saying, Lord, I'm coming to worship you. Give me one thing that draws me to you. Do you think he's going to answer that prayer? He will, and he does. Samuel Zwemer said, true prayer is God the Holy Spirit, talking to God the Father in the name of God the Son, and the believer's heart is the prayer room. You have a prayer partner. You get to pray along with your prayer partner. Anytime, any day, when you wake up at 2 a.m, there he is, a spiritual trainer. Did I mention to you the price that was paid? It's the price of Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross to cover your sin and my sin, so that we could have the gift of an advocate who would love us and accept us, who would implore the ears of our Heavenly Father who created us every day. Do not neglect the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ben's going to come and pray a song of benediction over us. Before he does, will you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we come in awe, humbled by the reality of the gift given to us. And sometimes we get so caught up in our doctrinal lessons, our confirmations, and our hearing of the Trinity that we forget the function, the beauty, God with us through the Holy Spirit. What a gift. And for your word that reveals to us that he's advocating for us even now, crying out, Abba, Daddy, that we would know of your presence wherever we might be. You are a great Father. And Lord Jesus, you are a great Savior. Holy Spirit, you are the greatest gift given. Oh, you lead us to truth, and we thank you. You convict us of sin, and as hard as that is, we thank you. You intercede on our behalf, and even when I can't find words for the groanings of my soul, you go before me and translate them so that the Father will understand. And you fill my heart with worship. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Teach us to worship forever, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.